Isn't it wonderful to be a child of the King? Good to see you all back again. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. I might get you to stand. Paul was talking here to the Philippians, and he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I fall after, if that I may apprehend that for which also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Precious Heavenly Father, pray for your holy unction from on high. Bless us in the power of Elijah and Elisha. And Lord, we'll thank and praise you for whatever you do through this unworthy servant's lips. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Yea, doubtless. You know, we can't doubt as Christians. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 tells us that if we doubt, we are not worthy to be considered a Christian, because we must believe God. We must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In James chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Who is that man? That man that God giveth wisdom to, faith to, but yet he will turn his back upon God. God does not want a man to put his hands to the plow and then turn back. We are to go forward. We are to be overcomers. The Bible tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You cannot ride the fence. You either got to be on one side of it or on the other side of it. Try riding the fence sometime, kind of hard, kind of rough. We've got to love him, or either we got to hate him. The man that loves it loves life. The man that hates him loves death. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we must go on. We cannot doubt the Lord. We cannot doubt his word. Is he a man that he should lie? Or a man that he should not perform what he has promised that he would do? Paul says, "I am fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is also able to perform." I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but it's older I get, the more things don't mean anything to me. These things are but vanity. We can achieve all the things in life. What if a man should gain the whole world and still lose his soul? What will he have gained? We have got to realize that what Christ gives us is worth more than all the gold and silver of this world. In Ephesians, the Bible tells us that he wants to enlighten us. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, chapter 1, verse 17, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God don't want the ignorance that we once were in. God has told us to get out of that ignorance. He wants to enlighten us. He wants us to have understanding so that we may know the wonderful things that God had prepared for them that love him. The Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But my friends, the next verse, but the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. The Spirit that we have within us is able to do far exceedingly above what we even ask or think. We have a Spirit that loves us and came to comfort us and give us hope. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things. What good is things upon this earth? They're going to pass away. When we got saved, we became a new creature, created in Christ Jesus. All the old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. We are a new creature created in Christ Jesus, and therefore our affection is on things above, not on things below. We've got to get out of this world. We've got to get out of the love of this world. For if a man love the world, the love of God is not in him. He says, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He had to abandon his gains that he might gain salvation. One cannot be saved as long as he confides in his own efforts and accomplishments. They must be renounced before he can believe in Christ as his Savior. We must realize that there's nothing we can do. There is no standing that we can have. It is no amount of riches that can purchase our salvation. We must renounce all these things for the revelation of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. Be found in him. When we got saved, we became flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. We are in him. We are hid in him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. We are head in Christ. We are no longer that same old wretched person we used to be. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. We've got to realize that when Christ came in, we got something different. What are we going to be clothed in when we get to heaven? Righteousness. Well, how do we get that righteousness? We cannot get to heaven in our own righteousness. Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousness is but filthy rags, and they stench in the nostrils of God. We can't get there through our own goodness. We must reject that which is of the flesh and of the law. The law was good. It came as a schoolmaster to teach us what sin was. But when Christ came, the law was done away with. Why? Because no man could keep the law. I can't, you can't, the Seventh-day Adventist can't. Righteousness is something we get in an easy way. How do we get righteous? Romans chapter 4 says that Abraham was imputed righteousness for his faith. When we believe in the Lord and we stay in our faith, without faith it's impossible to please him anyway. We stay in our faith, righteousness is imputed to our account. Simple faith, childlike faith, believing God, believing what he said he's going to do. That which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We cannot get to heaven. We cannot achieve that righteousness that one day we will be clothed in. We just got to have faith. Faith. Simple faith. You got faith right now that that bench is going to hold you up. You're sitting on it. When you get up from it and you go out the door, you're going to have faith enough you turn the key in your car and hoping it's going to crank. You realize how many times in life that you show faith? When I turn my stove on to cook a meal, I got faith it's going to light up. What is faith? That we may know him. When we get to the point that we're not going there, but a person that stands before the white throne judgment is going to hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never, what, knew you. He says, that I may know him. Paul says, I want to know the Lord. I want to know everything about him. I want to be built up in the faith. Every one of them says, grow in the grace and what? Knowledge of the Lord. The more we know about him, praise God, the more we love him. Because he is one that we can hang on to. He is one that's going to hang on to us. He's able to keep us from falling and to preserve us until the day of his son's coming. Resurrection. Mary and Martha had lost Lazarus. He was in the grave. Martha said, if you'd have been here, you could have kept him from dying. He says, I am the resurrection. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And if a one be dead, he shall live again. just as sure as you've been born, you're going to die in this world. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll only die once. Don't make sense. A Christian has to be born again. When he's born again, praise God, he's defeated death. He will not taste of death. He will not see death. Why? Because our Lord said so. John chapter 6, you know, shall not see death. And you will not taste of death because our Savior has already tasted death for us in Hebrews. Death is something we shouldn't be scared of. Why? Death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? Death's not going to have any victory. We're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, walking on a street of pure gold. But he says, I want to know him, and the greatest thing, the power of his resurrection. God showed the world when he resurrected his son from that tomb. He come out of it victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Resurrection is that we have in our own bosom. How do we know? Because the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is going to raise this old body, your body, from the dead. He says, I want to know him. I want to know his power of resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. If the master has suffered, the servant also shall suffer. What is suffering, though? It is that makes pure. When we suffer and we learn to depend upon the Lord, we get closer and closer to him. And say, to be made conformable unto his death. Yes, Christ died. He went down in the belly of the earth. Told them that the supreme sacrifice had already been made. And that now they were leaving Abraham's bosom and they were going to paradise. Abraham's bosom. When he took them out, the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was hanging there. And he asked the Lord to forgive him, for he was a sinner. And God said, today, that will be me, that shall be with me in paradise. He got his resurrection right off of the cross. When he gave up the body of this infirmity, he was on heaven's sweet shore. Paul says, I want to know the same thing. I want to know that I can attain that resurrection of the dead. That's the mark that I'm trying to achieve. To know that if I receive Christ as my Savior, praise God, resurrection is mine also. I don't have to worry about dying. I don't have to worry about them putting me in the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Because I'm going to come out. He says, if any by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1/100th of a second, the Lord is coming back one day and we're going to be changed. He's going to blow the trumpet. And praise God, we're going to go to be with him forever and ever and ever. We're going to leave this old world and all its troubles and trials and woe. And we're going to be with him. But he says, I haven't already obtained it. I'm young in the faith. I haven't come to the position that I want to be. We all need to grow. There's none of us that ever gets to the point of maturity that we don't have to grow anymore. We always need to grow in Christ. Every time you read the Word of God, you can read it a dozen times, but you'll get something different out of it every time you read it. But he says, I haven't attained it, but I do follow after it. And that's what we need to do. We cannot give up. We got to follow after it. Blessed he that overcometh. Seven times in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Blessed is the overcomer. We've got to overcome the world and all that's in it. No, we're not working our way into heaven. We are using what God has given us to overcome the world. He says, I haven't apprehended it, but I'm striving. He says, I haven't apprehended. No, I haven't achieved where I want to be. When we get to the point we're completely satisfied, we done got to the wrong point. We should never be satisfied. As the psalmist says, I'll only be satisfied in thy presence. When we get into the presence of the Lord, then we can be satisfied. But this world down here will not bring you satisfaction. It will bring you pain. It will bring you trial. It will bring you tribulation. But it will not bring you satisfaction. You say, well, I get satisfied every so often. Are you really? For just a moment, you might be satisfied. But my friends, life is long. Eternity is long. You're going to be satisfied the rest of your life? I don't believe so. But if you're in Christ, you are satisfied to know that there is resurrection out there, that we have the Spirit within us that guarantees that resurrection is going to take place. Because as he raised Christ from the dead, he is also going to raise our mortal bodies. Romans chapter 8. You know, there's one thing God cannot remember. When we get saved, our sins are washed in the Clemson flow. And God cannot remember our sins. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Precious blood of Jesus has washed them in the sea of forgetfulness, never be remembered anymore. He's washed them as far as the east is from the west. Praise God, we stand before God justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We stand before him, forgetting those things which are behind. Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not supposed to remember what they were leaving behind. But Lot's wife, her heart was still back in Sodom and Gomorrah. Where is your heart at today? Is it still in this world or is it above? Lot's wife turned and looked back at the cities and turned to a pillar of salt. What is our judgment today? Like I said when I first started, God says a man that putteth his hand to the plow and didn't look it back is not worthy. We've got to press on. For what? To the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is it? The resurrection. Praise God, one of these days we're going to have a brand new body not prepared by man's hands. One of these days, all of these things that we left behind will be forgotten. And we got to reach forward to those things which are above. You get on a merry-go-round and you reach for the golden ring. And my friends, we are heaven bound, and we're reaching for God's golden ring. That golden ring, a street of pure gold, so pure that it's transparent, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Yes, we're reaching for that city that came down out of heaven that John saw. We're going to live in it. Abraham looked for it. He says, I press. We went to Disney World one year, right at New Year's and Christmas, to get from one side of the street to the other side of the street, you had to really press yourself through it. It was wall-to-wall people. And my friends, today, it's not going to be an easy job, but you still need to press toward that mark. We just said that the mark was to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. Press toward the mark. We know where the mark is. Are we going to give up before we get there? If you run a race, you've got to press toward the mark. You've got to run to get to the mark. The finish line. Paul says, I finished my course. Are you going to be able to say at the end of the way that you finished your course? God's got a special place for you. He's got crowns laid up for you. And all you've got to do is what? Press toward the mark. For the high calling. You know, as a general calling and an effective calling. That general calling means everybody in the church or outside that's being witnessed to. They've got a general calling. But effectual calling is when that calling from the Lord becomes effective in your heart and in your soul. And you become a Christian. And you got the high calling of God in that now we are the sons of God. We are the children of God. We are the ones that God says is the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Don't hide it under a bushel basket, but press toward the mark of the high calling of God. But the only way to get there is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by him. So we've got to press toward the mark. How about it today? All we said, we have grown in the grace and knowledge and revelation and understanding of the Lord to know that we are not going to let the devil throw roadblocks in our way. We're going to serve the Lord no matter what. We're going to serve him with gladness, as I was on this morning. Our Lord is worthy. Are we? That's the question we got to ask. Are we worthy? But we've got to press. If we want resurrection, you say, well, I like life. Well, resurrection will give you eternal life, but you got to press toward the mark. You've got to know that you're on the right road, that straight and narrow road that leads to eternal life, not on the broad road that leads to destruction. We've got to make sure we haven't, turned. When we got saved, we got repentance. Repentance means that we had a 180-degree turn. We're not going back. We're on a different road now. Brother Bill, will you come on?